You're listening to WWBC Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Coco, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
You are tuned into New Beginnings in Christ Ministries, where the pastor is Ralph Williams. And now here with today's message is
but,
Pastor
the cool weather is good. It's good sometimes to change up. It's good for the iguanas, as we were discussing earlier, because they get tired of hanging in the trees. And so when it gets cold, they can just drop on down. Then somebody informed me that they make really good snacks. I don't think I'm going to be finding that out. I'll just take their word for it. As you see in your bulletin, we're back in our study in 1 John. And by way of review, guys, we're in chapter 4, and we'll begin our reading at verse 18, and that should be page 1064 if you're using your pew Bible. Chapter 4, beginning at verse 18, and seeing some verses that we have already reviewed, and John is helping us understand, and the elder John is helping us understand, and he's teaching us, or has been teaching us, about God's love. And it's unfathomable, guys. And just when you think he's not loved you enough, he comes on or from a different perspective and loves you even that much more. Sometimes his love brings us to him. In fact, it's always designed to bring us closer to him. But sometimes we don't see it as love, as he chastises us and opens our eyes to the reality that we're going wrong. But it's still God's love. And he ultimately wants us to be in a proper fellowship and relationship with him at all times. We read in verse 18, he says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment." It says, "He that feareth is not made perfect in love." And we talked about last week in regard to that fear, that man and woman did not know what fear was until they went and got out of fellowship with the Lord when they sinned. And then that brought fear. And we know there is torment in that. And if you live in sin, if you go in the area of sin, all of a sudden you start concerning yourself with fearful things. And how am I going to fix this? And how's that going to get straightened out? But when we stay in perfect fellowship with the Lord, he takes care of that, even our fear. And John's helping us understand that in God's love, there does not have to be fear. We know Adam and Eve were in innocency, and they were fine with whatever came down the pike. But the moment they sinned, then it brought up a barrier between them and God. In fact, when he came to look for them, they were hiding from him. And they said, "We were afraid," and they had never been afraid before. And for the believer, guys, even on this side of Calvary, we don't have to be afraid. And I don't care what it is, because he really does have it. We need to just make sure that we believe that and that we love him from that perspective. He says in verse 19, we love him because he first loved us. And I love that. And that's a short verse. And listen, but it's such a truthful verse. Guys, we were looking for something in our lives prior to salvation and really didn't know what it was. For myself, I knew I was out of sorts, and so I was starting to look for different and various things to do. And even you could say I was looking for love in all the wrong places. And I thought it was over here, and it wasn't, or over here in a person, or over here in what I could do, or in a job I could make more money. And I was looking, and in the midst of my confusion, in the midst of me knowing something was missing, and did not know what it was, the God of glory reached down to me and loved me to the point where he loved the hell out of me when he let me know who his son was. And I was able to know then what I was missing. I was missing his love. And he loved me so much that he died for me. And listen, God didn't just say it. He did it when he sent his son. And I love the fact that he did that for me. And listen, I can now love only because he has first loved me. He says in verse 19, he said, we love him because he first loved us. And he goes on verse 20, if a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he have not seen? And it would be awful hard. And look, you can say you love him, but if you got a hatred or for your brother, for one that's in Christ, there's something wrong. There's a disconnect in regard to the love you think you have. He says in verse 21, and this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. And take note that after that word also, there's a period. And in reality, that is it. It's period. That if we love him, we love the brethren. And he has given us and shown us how to love, not from our own failing fleshly self, but from the spiritual self of the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us, that God loved us. We were unlovely, but he loved us anyhow. And because of that, he's given us the ability, the power, and even the spirit to love those that the world might think is not love worthy, but God says they are, because I sent you to be a blessing to them. Guys, please be prayerful with me as I continue in our sermon series, Obedience is Better Than Sacrifice. And Father, as we move further into this book, if we dive deeper and go into chapter 5, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, you've had us in this book for a bit, and even in chapter 5, for me, you've had me looking in this thing over and over and over. And I love you for that. And every time I look into it, you show me even something else that not so much might not relate to the congregation, but surely it relates to me. And Father God, for you blessing my heart to understand how much you do love me and the route that I need to be going as your ambassador here on earth, I pray that love, that truth that you put in my heart, that as we look at these verses, that you'll place it in the heart of each and every one here. Father, we are going through something, and in the midst of us going through something, we need to know that there is a fix for whatever you're going through. And that fix is none other than Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son, who did what none other could do, and is now in heaven interceding for each of us. And Lord, to him do we pray, and to him do we give all the honor and all the glory as we pray in his name. Amen and amen. As we go into chapter 5 and looking at verse 1, John begins to tell us, not only tell us that we're God's children, but he reminds us that not only are we his, but we're always his. And guys, by the way, even when you go faulty, even when you're sinning, we're still his children. We belong to him. He says in verse 1 of chapter 5, if you're with me, say amen. He says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him, he said, that begat. And look, we know that God begat us as believers, that we love him. It says, loveth him also that is begotten of him. And look, pointing toward our love for our brothers and sisters in Christ. And guys, I'm not talking about your natural brothers. I'm talking about your brothers and sisters in Christ. And listen, we were talking earlier about different various things. The young lady was sharing how she was on the mission field. Others were talking about this, and Greg's talking about something else. But we're all from different parts of the world. We're all from different categories and families. But God has blessed us all at the same saving point, which is at the feet of Jesus Christ. And because of that, that links us together as brothers and sisters. And look, we might not have a past together, but hallelujah, we have a future together. And that future lies in Jesus Christ. And for that reason, man, I can love you. And look, I might not even know you that well, but I can love you because you have God's spirit in you. And we link and we work. And hallelujah, we will be in eternity together forever and ever, if indeed we are do belong to the Lord. He says in verse 1 of chapter 5, whosoever believeth that Jesus Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. He goes on, verse 2, by this, he says, we know that we love the children of God, when we love God. And listen, it would be a good verse for almost anybody if it just stopped there, but it doesn't stop there. There's a something that should happen for the true believer. Guys, we don't just say we love God, oh, I love God, oh, how I love Jesus. There's some meat on those words, and they ought to show for the believer. He says in verse 2, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God, and the verse goes on, and keep his commandment. And guys, I got to tell you, you don't always feel like keeping his commandment. There are some times when he's going to tell you to do some things, or you're going to read in his book and you see I have not been keeping that you might not feel like it, but nowhere in that verse does it say if you feel like keeping it. It simply says that if we love him and truly know him, then we will keep his commandments. And look, so whatever he says to you, whatever he says to me, we need to be obedient to that call that he has on our lives. Man, in my years and years of alcohol and drugs, when he said I had to stop, I said, Lord, I can't. And he says, you can, because I saved you and I gave you the power, and that's in my spirit to do it. And so he said, put the bottle down and don't pick it up no more. And guess what? I was obedient. I put it down. And guess what? The next day, I really was not craving it anymore. I realized he had broken and cut that thing off that was from my past. And I was able to be obedient because of him. And I never picked it back up again in regard to being an alcoholic. And listen, that's something easy for me to say. But man, if you've been there, if God's Spirit has delivered you, you know that it's easier than what we say, than what I say. It really is. Because it's no longer me that's keeping his commandments. It's the Spirit that lives inside of me that keeps his commandments. And I love that. He says in verse 2, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. And by the way, what we know is that, quick experiment. Everybody in here is breathing, right? If somebody's not, dial 911. But everybody in here is breathing, right? I want you to take a deep breath, go, and then hold it for a second. Now, I'm not going to have you hold it until you turn blue, but just hold it. Now, let it go and breathe normally. Now, whether or not I told you to breathe or not, sooner or later, you were going to breathe. You were going to say, look, Brother Ralph trying to kill us. I'm letting this thing out. I got to breathe. And guys, just like you need air to live, and just like you don't tell your body to breathe, it simply does it because you need that to live. Guys, if we're going to serve the Lord and be his, we need to, just like we need to breathe from the natural, from the supernatural, I can't live, I can't make it, I can't survive as a Christian unless I'm being obedient to him. And look, there are times when I hear something and I won't want to do it right then, but he's not going to leave me alone. He's going to keep chastising me. And sooner or later, I'm going to have to relent and give God the glory and do what he tells me to do. Just like me breathing. Because if I held my breath too long and I start turning colors, sooner or later, I'm going to keel over. Let me tell you something, man. If you're not obedient to God, if he's telling you to do something and you say, I'm not going to do it, you're going to keel over as well. Because he's not going to have you representing him. And you're not going to do what he tells you to do. And guys, we come from, most of us come from the generation where if your parents told you something and you didn't do it, there was going to be probably immediate consequences. Amen? Amen. I remember something my mother used to say to me a lot, because I was kind of disobedient. And I used to say something, and she would say something like, you keep it up. You're going to be talking out of the other side of your face, she would say. And guess what? I knew exactly what that means. That I was going to get a backhand or get something. And listen, it wasn't abuse. And I didn't like it. And yes, it did hurt. But guess what? When she told me to do something next time, when you want me to go, how fast you want me to do it, I did it. And by the way, God says, for those whom I love, I'm going to chase it. I'm going to bring something. And by the way, sometimes we get in trouble because we're not being obedient to the Lord, and he will chasten his children. I know it. Because many times, like I was disobedient with my mom, I was disobedient with the Lord as well. And because he doesn't always come down immediately on us, we think that it's okay with him. But guess what? Disobedient, which by the way is sin, is never okay with God. And he will remember. And he will get you to go the way he wants you to go. He says in verse 2 again, by this, we know that we love God. We know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. He goes on and even tells us something about them. He says, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And he repeats it and it says, and his commandments are not grievous. In other words, guys, they're not really hard, and it's not going to lead you to a worse kind of life. It's going to lead you to a blessed life, and the only way you're going to find out is when you do what he tells you to do. And listen, he knows the beginning from the end. He knows what Brother Ralph needs. He knows what I needed yesterday, and he knows what I need today. And look, he might not show me the whole picture all at once, but if he tells me to do something or sends me a certain way or tells me to stop doing something, it's always, and mark that, always for my good, and it's going to be for his glory, because what I said I couldn't do or thought I couldn't do, when he delivers me, I can stand and say, hallelujah. Guys, I thought I could not do this, but the God of glory told me to do it, and I did it. And I'm able to stand and tell you, not by my might, not by my power, but by his spirit, I was able to be obedient and do what he told me to do. And he says his commandments are not grievous. And guys, they're going to lead to a blessed life. Each and every time. And listen, he gives us some good news even in verse 4. He says, for who or whatsoever is born of God, he says, overcometh the world. He says, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And I love that, man, because in of myself and my own abilities, I can't do nothing. But he says, in him, I can do all things. And I hear folk talk about faith sometimes and say, well, sometimes you just got to have faith. And the question I always ask, or sometimes I ask, is have faith in what? Faith in yourself? In your muscles? In your strength? In your money? In your job? In your brilliantness? Or faith in the Lord? Hey, guys, look, sometimes I'm by myself, and sometimes, not often, but there are times when I feel alone. But God reminds me, he said that you're never alone. I'm always with you. And listen, though I might not have a partner right here with me right here or over here with this, and I'm going through this, and I feel like I'm being bombarded on every side, and it seems like the later it gets in time, the more as a preacher this thing occurs, and Satan's trying to beat me up over here and beat me up over here. And there are times I'll tell the others to pray for me, but God tells me that, look, I am a person, I'm a God or a Savior that sticks closer to you. I'm a friend that sticks closer to you than a brother. You can always call on me. And sometimes I'm walking around or I'm driving and I'm talking to them and I'll see somebody in the other car looking at me because I'm getting animated just like I am now. And they look at me and they smile. And I meme it with my expressions. I'm talking to the Lord. They don't hear what I'm saying. But you know what? It don't even matter. Because sometimes, look, I'm not talking to myself. I'm talking to him. And so there are times when my wife will be walking around the house singing. And she's singing melody. And listen, she sings out of her mouth what's in her heart in regard to her peace that she has with the Lord or the joy that she has with him. And listen, he'll even spring that up in your heart and let you know that I don't care what you're going through. not only do I have you, but man, I'm in that fire with you. When the lions are, and Frank was, Brother Greg was talking about the lions. When you're in the lions, then you think they're going to bite you. He says, no, I'm right there with you. When the doctor comes and says that, Brother Rabbit, don't look too good. He says, yeah, don't look too good from him. But guess what? He's only practicing medicine. I have made it my own. I got you. My family members are going through, or this is happening, or that is happening. And listen, you don't even have an answer and don't know which way you want to go. God said, just take my hand, I'll take you. And we're going to take care of this thing. And I'll show you how it needs to be. And guys, ultimately, for us in life, and look, I got a birthday coming up, I'll be 73. We know that time, sooner or later in time, for all of us, is going to end one day. We know that. But even with that, God says in his word, he says that even when you die absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. He's saying that it's not grievous. It's going to be better, Brother Ralph. So while you're here, keep serving me. Keep being obedient to me. Keep doing what I told you to do. You have no idea what I got in store for you, but you'll start to see it as you begin to be obedient to what I want you to do here on earth. Amen. He says, verse 4, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even, he says, our faith. And he goes on in verse 5, he says, who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? And this is one little stigma to that verse. You can overcome the world as a believer, and God will do that for you. But if you don't know him, if you're simply saying that, you're not overcoming the world. And the reason being why because you're still part of the world. You're part of the problem. And you're not going to overcome what institution that you're part of. And listen, if you don't know Christ, then you're part of the world system. And if you do know him, then you've already overcome the world. And even in time, he's going to bless you to give you your best life possible for the time. But guys, understand this here on earth is not our best life. It is yet to come. But until that comes, I'm going to serve him. I'm going to be obedient to him. And listen, if he tells me to go up to Mount Moriah and preach to the folk up there, I'm going to do it. If he tells me to go down to the lowest parts of the valley of the world, I'm going to do that. And if he tells me, hallelujah, I want you to stay right there, lamplighter, and preach to them guys like you. That's the last one you preach. I'm going to do that too. And wherever he says go, whatever he says do, I'm going to do it. And yes, I appreciate the blessings he brings my way. But I'm not doing it for blessings. I'm doing it because he tells me that that's what I need to be doing. And that's me. What is he telling you to do? Where is he sending you? Where's your mission field? Whom does he want you to speak to? And that is the question for all of us. And guys, we need to know that. And it can't just be about what I want. Man, because if it was about what I want, I would have been finished a long time ago. Me and my wife were talking the other day. And by the way, if you don't know, I met her in junior high school. And way back then, we had no idea that the Lord was going to do a whole series of events, times, and issues. We had no idea he was going to put us together. In fact, when it seemed like it was happening, I was trying my best not to let it happen. But you know what? Of all the people, all the ladies I had ever dated, most of them would just, whatever I said, they would just do. If I say go left, they would go left. Go right, they would go right there. Almost like they were automatons. But when I would tell my wife to do something, she'd look at me like I'm crazy. I ain't going, unless it made sense, she wasn't going to do it. And she wouldn't hardly listen to me. She wouldn't buy my mess. And she wouldn't fall for the stuff that I was saying. And man, that intrigued me, and it made me want to be around her even more. And listen, guess what? 100 years later, she still ain't falling for it. Because she, outside of Jesus and maybe my mother, she knows me the best. And she calls my whole card each and every day. But I thank God that he linked us together. Because we are almost totally opposite in the things that we like and the things that we do. But the one thing that we love the most and centrally love, and that's Jesus. And because of that, he takes what her, where she is, and takes where I am, and he takes that ministry couple and puts them together. And listen, my thoughts might not be hers, but she'll come up with a thought, and I say, wow, I never thought about it that way. And we amen each other, and he has put us together. And though we're opposite from the fleshly perspective, we are right on time when it comes to the things of Christ, and we're on board that way. And I love him how he's done that with us, and not just with us, he does it with a whole lot of other folk, guys. But being obedient, that's got to be number one in whichever and whatever he's calling you to do. Because without obedience, man, you can't please the Lord that we serve. He says in verse 5, who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? And he goes on in verse 6, he says, and this is he, though, that came by water and blood. And by the way, he's talking about Christ's baptism and his death, and we're going to look at some things in that regard in a minute. He says, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And John writes, and it is the Spirit that bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. And again, speaking about Christ's baptism by John the Baptist, and in fact, we're going to mark this page here, please, and we're going to Matthew chapter 3 and look at that very same thing. It should be page 830 if you're using a pew Bible. Matthew chapter 3. Thank you, Lord. Beginning at verse 1, just some verses we're going to look at today to kind of back up what John is saying there in 1 John. Should be page 830, Matthew chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. Now we know, and we saw even when Elizabeth, who was John the Baptist's mother, we know that when she was pregnant, she was 6 months ahead pregnant than Mary. And we saw when Mary came into the house that the babe in Elizabeth's belly leaped for joy, so much so that the Holy Spirit even infected and affected Elizabeth. So he was a forerunner in every sense of the word. It says in verse 1, in those days, if you're with me, say amen. It says, in those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And listen, what he's saying is, look, you guys, you need to get ready, because Christ is on the scene and things are getting ready to change. In verse 3, it says, and for this is he that was spoken of by the prophets, Isaiah, and that's the Greek for Isaiah. He says, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. In other words, get folks' heart ready for the coming Messiah, because he's here, he's getting ready to come, things are going to change. He says in verse 4, and the same John, it says, had his raiment.
You've been listening to Pastor Ralph Williams from New Beginnings in Christ Ministries. If you'd like to contact Pastor Ralph, you can write to him at Post Office Box 101427, Palm Bay, Florida 32910. Once again, that's Pastor Ralph Williams, Post Office Box 101427, Palm Bay, Florida 32910. You also can email them at newbeginningslamp. LAMP at gmail.com. Be with us again next Friday morning at 10 o'clock for another program from the New Beginnings in Christ Ministries.